Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, the lady said something that interested me. She said that, so I asked, okay, so what finally persuaded you? I said, when you saw my bank balance, you wanted to deny me. I said, where she was checking. I said, what finally persuaded you? I said, the letters of the sponsor. She said, no. I said, what is it? He said, well, I just believe you. Good. You know, that is, she had nothing else more like, I just believe that you're real. I said, okay, fine. Part of it, which I was explaining to my wife, was that there was no, hey, please, ma, you know, my whole family, they'll be waiting for this. If we don't get this visa, we are dead. So, no, really, what I told you right now, as God is my word, the things I told her. So your balance is low. I said, that's because I spend the money. I don't keep it there. You asked me that was a salary account, and I told you, yes, it is. That means I collect that money and I spend it. You know the interesting part, just by the way, one guy came with 4 million naira in his account, and she asked him simply, where do you get the money from? And they didn't give him a visa. My bank balance was bad. Bad. Really low. Really low. One of the accounts I just cleaned out. The lady looked at it, they shook her head like, my God, this is bad. I said, for goodness, it's a salary account. I spend the money, so what do you want me to do? Now, this is what I'm saying. The attitude, all right, that spirit that she perceived, all right, it came out of years of training. Do you follow my point? You are a witness about how I have talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked that, see, oh God, in fact, I'm getting to my message for today now, maybe from there, that even if I was lying at the beginning, I have said it so much that I now believe it. That, God forbid, but me, beg somebody, then like, please, sir, if you don't help me, no. But you know, I told you about an aura. We did that on radio, faith and the aura of confidence. Now, you are getting the point I'm making. That faith is not built overnight. It's a constant walk with God. You obey the word of God on small levels. Are you getting me? As you obey it on little levels. I told you, Isaac was not the first person that Abraham killed. He first had to kill Ishmael. He didn't kill Ishmael to that extent, but he drove Ishmael and Hagar out of the house. Ishmael that had lived with him for 13 years. You are getting the point I'm making. Or are you getting the point I'm making here? So the man was used to losing things. No, get my point. You can't obey God until you are ready to lose that thing. I know that Abraham believed that Isaac would get back. But before he got to that level, he had lost many things in his heart. Are you getting my point? The guy, and look, there was a time he lost Ishmael. He went to war, fought at the risk of his life. The God, he said, King of Sodom, take. I gave this example before. One day my wife and I were talking about, there was somebody that we know was going aggressively about something, the work of God supposedly, but was going so with so much force to get the thing done. She said, why can't this guy just relax and just let God do this thing? That was the first day I understood this improperly as I answered my wife. I said, you can't until you are ready to let it collapse if God wouldn't do it. A lot of the so-called stubborn faith is not the real one. Do you understand my point? It's not real yet. Before Jesus received the power to take it up again, first thing he did was to get the power to lay it down. He said that, I lay down my life of myself. No one is taking it away from me. He said, I have power to lay it down. It's after that you discover the power to take it up again. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's how Abraham's faith was built up to that level. What am I trying to explain today? Nobody is born with faith in his heart. None. Great faith is not just discovered suddenly. Great faith is a product of experience. Are you getting my point? Not just one experience, but experiences with God. A constant walk with God. And God starts it on a basic thing. Two things. One, basic love for God. That obeys God in the small things that he has the ability to. God is not stupid. Are you following me? Nobody won't give his life to Christ today. And to, you know, oh God, if I say this, you're making people laugh. A lot of fire brigade steps that people have taken, children in faith. So I just gave up my whole house to God. Listen, please. He said, no, I just left my job, came out of the streets, and started preaching the gospel. Go and check it. One, the guy who came out from his job, started preaching the gospel, was very hungry for years. Very, very many years he was badly hungry. Then he would testify later that that's how much suffering he suffered for God. You know the truth? Ask him in 10 years' time. He will realize it was not necessary. What am I going to say? A lot of those steps are steps of zeal, not steps of faith. Are you hearing my point? There is a difference between the step of zeal and a step of faith. A step of zeal is usually a copying of the step of faith of somebody that really had faith. Are you getting my point? A man that really had faith, okay, took a step. I remember those days when we were in secondary school. We had teachers who their children would be sick and die. They said, no, in our church, we don't take drugs. Listen, the men who founded those churches did not take drugs and they did not die. Let me say that again. The guys who started it did not take drugs and they did not die. Then somebody hears about it. It takes a step of zeal, not a step of faith. Because faith is something you, look, I said the man who has seen, he doesn't need to be persuaded. Those guys had seen. So there was nothing Satan could do to prevent them from getting their miracle every time. Nothing. They knew the power of God very well. And then they had some conceptions, whether true or missed, are you getting my point? About medicine, which made them refuse it. You put the two together, Satan couldn't handle them. Then they write a book. Then one little fellow who don't know God, who don't know doctors, who does not know anything, that is a step of the man of faith, he's taking the step of zeal. He's not taking a step of faith because he has not been fully persuaded. He had not reached the point of knowing God to any level. Are you getting my point? That's why people do a lot of things that you know, embarrasses God. There are steps of zeal. And the Bible said it like this. It said, in fact, I like the way NIV says it. It says, zeal without knowledge is good. It's not good. King James said that for a man to be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hastens with his feet runs into error. He said, errs. I'm just saying it simply. Are you getting my point? He said, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. Faith is built. It takes time. What God is asking for, because God is a personal tutor for faith. What he does is, one, two basic things. He said faith works by love. That is, the foundation of it is love. Love for God, which is only shown by love for human beings. If you are a Christ, if you say you are born again and you don't love Christians, you are lying. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He said, do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Man, those are the foundations for faith. People whose faith only works for them, you know, get me new this, get me that, they are just walking in the foolishness of zeal. They don't have any jack faith. Are you getting my point? Look, listen, let me just give you another hint. Especially if you see a man who was a politician, he now gives his life to Christ. He gets to church and expects to be in front with microphone again. Just know that guy is in error. I don't care what he says, he's lying. He's used to being in the limelight. Are you getting my point? You know, I said this before. In fact, recently I got some pastor, but you see this, and he was explaining some of these things again. But you know I said this before. Look, you are a musician in the world, doesn't make you a praise minister. Are you getting my point? I mean, you were in the world, you were jamming big time, you know, you knew how to rock everything. When you now get to a church, say, oh, praise God, that brother will be leading praise here. If I'm there, when he has the microphone, I don't go sing again, I go sit down. Why is he singing? Why did he give you a microphone? Because the guy doesn't know anything yet. You should let him sit down. You must never give a novice authority. That is what Paul said clearly. Now, but let me apply what I'm going to say. The guy doesn't yet have the faith, all right, to carry a congregation to praise God. He doesn't have it yet. If he's jamming, fine. But leading praise and worship, it just shows that there, you guys are not worshiping. There was a church I attended some years ago, and the church was renowned for how good the praise was. So me too, I said, let me go there and experience. And when I entered, the music was very good. But I noticed that with all the hot jamming, I couldn't move my legs. I always wanted to sit down. When I came out, I told somebody, I said, they are not praising God, they are singing. Listen, let me tell you this. One of the guys who would lead, you know, either play the instrument or handle the microphone, this guy, I told my wife after, I said, you see that fellow, he's not born again. I said, you see that fellow, he became a renowned musician. I said, but you see that guy, he's not a Christian. He only goes to church. Later on, when she heard some gist, he said, it's true. My husband said years ago that this guy is not born again. I said, it's obvious. I don't know, maybe it's spiritual discernment, but I just entered the place. Everybody was feeling very happy. The praise here is good. I said, it's a lie. They are not praising God here. What are you telling me? No. I just said, look, I'll just drop it. People are feeling very happy. They are feeling very happy. Sweating it out. I'll just drop it. Just sit down. See what is going on here? I've been to where praise is rising up. Listen, all this, look, instrument is good. Are you getting my point? But when I started going to fellowship, they praise God. This was the only instrument we had. Clapping. We could clap all, look. We could clap all kinds of clap. I remember those when we were in school. There's some bread and they would gather in one corner. They were in fact, you can be sure, one or two of them were Urhobo men. Yes. No, you can't clap like an Urhobo man. It's not. They have a word for it. And tell you, Abo, aha, yeah, everybody. Yeah, they will clap until the palms become red. Hey, look, what I'm trying to say is that, see, real praise comes from the heart. It's not the kind of instrument you use outside. But let me sit on my message of faith. The point is that it's a constant walk with God that builds it. God builds it in your life through two things. One, information by his word, number one. And number two, those words do two things. No, let me say, two experiences come from two things. Number one, either to teach you that word, all right, in case you didn't understand it, or two, to prove that word that you have heard. The word either sends you into experiences, or God sends the experiences to teach you the word. But two things God uses to build up your faith, word and experiences. I said it takes time. But the issue is that you must constantly grow. Are you getting my point? Listen, the great thing that you may have heard me talk, just like I said about 7-star hotel just now. You may have heard me talk, and I said that, look, I know that people will do this. And then, you know, it sounds so fantastic that a young boy in Nigeria who is just 26 today, all right, within the next 15 years, he will be commanding a company that's valued at $50 billion or GABA. Are you not stretching it too far? Don't worry. Because, look, no, really, there are people who will make that statement and God will be angry and cut their neck. But most Christians, God knows that it's lack of experience that's your problem. Don't worry. Just keep on hearing. Are you getting my point? Then as you go on, you will start having personal experiences or other people's experiences. You will start buying books, reading magazines that start showing you how God has created those paths for people in the past. Then a point comes in which you realize that, God can do it again. The next time you hear somebody preach, that listen, that as you are saying it, you jump to your feet. Amen. They say, why is that guy shouting? You see, he has become fully persuaded. And within 15 years in his life, it will indeed happen. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you getting the point I'm making? Don't let those who have taken steps of zeal confuse us as concerning the steps of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? People who took steps of zeal went into problems. Are you getting my point? But it doesn't change the fact that there are steps of faith which a man will take and he will never fail in life. You are getting what I'm trying to say here? My time is really gone. Like I said, I let me try and limit. Although what I wanted to say today, I have not said it at all. When I say at all, I mean literally at all. Because I was supposed to talk about the conversion of Abraham's name to Abraham. So maybe we'll just leave that till next time because I don't want to keep us for too long. The fact that I came late doesn't mean we shouldn't go home again. You understand? All right, so let me just summarize the things I've emphasized today, which exactly is about the fact that God is a personal tutor of faith, all right? And if anyone is patient with God, he will definitely get to the place of full persuasion, which we have been talking about. There's no hurry in it. Are you getting my point? You don't have to. Of course, you can't help but make mistakes of zeal. You can't. You are not righteous enough to not do that. No. That's why the Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times. That is, you have fallen 3 times, you got 4 to go. All right? The righteous man, falling is not a big deal. In fact, if you never fall, you never were born again, really. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, you didn't love the Lord enough to make a mistake for him. T.D. Jakes said as a young boy, he said those things were foolish, but they did them. As a 17-year-old boy, he would close his eyes and say, God, I'm trusting you, and walk across the road. Cars are speeding past. I said, oh, Father God, you're my protector. I just shut his eyes. You know, if somebody doesn't want to do it, I'll give the person a personal knock on the head. He said, yes, it was foolish. But that was how much he loved God as a young boy. I remember once when we were in school, people were talking about being sustained by faith. Ah, I said, my parents are always sending me money. It's not good. So one day, we too should experience this sustaining by faith. It's foolishness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's foolishness. If you're a young boy, a young lady, you are in school, your parents send you money, you should collect it. If they don't send, phone them. Say, what thing they happen? Stop, don't they drive for this side? Yeah? Appear. You getting my point? Ah, I just felt that no, this is not allowing your faith. So, you know, years later I looked back, I said, pure foolishness. Pure what? Foolishness. You don't put yourself in shoes that the Lord has not put you. Who are you trying to impress? Well, what the point is that if you never made any of those mistakes, most likely you never really gave your life to Christ. Yeah, no, really, 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 really. Because, you see, that's just the way it happens, all right? Zeal is part of it, all right? It's just that you have to be careful. Like I said before, Paul spoke, he said, there is righteousness, there is self-control. And based upon these two things, there is the judgment to come. I'm putting my own words now. So self-control is what we need to learn. Why will you control the self if the self does not try to be impulsive? Are you getting my point? All right, the fact that it's been born in God, it will try to do some things that are dangerous. Look, Moses wrongfully killed the Egyptian. But we know that was a zeal for the people of God. If he didn't have that, God probably would not have used him. Now, if I say this, it might surprise you. Because of the kind of person Moses was, if he didn't kill that Egyptian, most likely he would never have been the Moses you know today. It was an error. But he did not have enough information to know it was an error. So if he didn't do it, he was being slack. It's only somebody that has the information that wouldn't have done it. So if he did not do it, then he was being slack. I don't know whether you are getting my point. I'm not excusing errors per se. But I'm telling you that God allows people to make them. It's crucial. It's crucial because that's how he will even let you know that this is your zeal. You know, must be kept cool. Remember that walked up to me once after I finished preaching in Benin. He was so impressed. He came and said, pray for me. He said, now that you have prayed for me, I want you to give me a word from your spirit. Look, I know enough to know that all those things are not necessary. If I have a word in my spirit, I will give it to you. You don't have to tell me to search and bring it out. But I obliged the young man. I did. So I looked at him. I said, take it easy. It's funny. Your laughter is about to vanish. The guy looked at me. He said, I asked so and so person to do the same thing. He said, those were the exact words he told me. See, you stopped laughing. The guy looked at me like, what? I said, what's the problem? He said, sir, what did you say? I said, take it easy. Relax. He said, I asked so and so person when he came. And those were the same things he told me. I knew. I said, oh boy, you're about to take off on the force of zeal alone. One thing you must learn is what? Self-control. The world will not die because you did not preach. You're a student, but you get to go to class. Souls are perishing. You are taking lectures. Listen. When you have graduated, they will still be perishing. Are you getting my point? That was what Jesus meant when he said, the poor you have with you always. It is time for lectures. Go. Don't say souls are perishing. But you know the interesting part? If you didn't have this information, are you getting my point? And you never skipped lectures because of souls, you don't have zeal for them. Now you are getting the point I'm trying to make. You are getting it. Look, to stumble 7 times for the Christian, perfectly in the perfect will of God. There are instructions you will never learn until you have fallen. That's why I'm very careful when people want to tell story of how they started, all right? If they have not learned enough, all right, and they don't correct us concerning their own errors, they end up leading a lot of young people astray. I don't know whether you're getting my point, all right? Like, somebody was telling me recently about, I thought I got on some of CDs by Pastor Kwaju. There's one particular one titled True Christianity. Very powerful message. He was just chatting. True Christian, that's the name of the message. He made some statements. He said that, like, Winner's Chapel as an example, because he knew Bishop very well. Bishop ordained the church when he started, all right? And he used to work with Bishop in Winners, all right? He knows him very well. He knows people. He made a statement which was very interesting. Now, if you hear Bishop talk now, all right, you won't know that happened. He said when he first started, I think, in Lagos, and the church wasn't growing, that he fasted until one day he coughed and he was vomiting blood. Now, when I heard that, even me, I feared. But, you know, by the time I got into that level of maybe getting concerned about things like that, I had learned enough to know that wasn't necessary. For information, Bishop started Winners at the age of 25. So, as a 25-year-old boy, he should do a lot of things wrong. What are you talking about? He should. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. He should. So, he does something, he's not perfect today, but then he keeps growing. He keeps growing. Now, he won't fast for anybody, I'm sure. Look, you can be sure that. And, you know, just to balance something out. Can I tell you a story in those cities I mentioned earlier? Casting your cares upon the Lord. In fact, I listened to it before, but I had not noticed that thing in it. He said that, you know, that's where I was taught as a young Christian. I stopped doing it because I realized it never worked. It wasn't out of any, you know, just that I did it and did it and it didn't work. You say that if you want to see the power of God, move powerfully. You know, before the meeting, you will go and fast and pray, and you pray for hours. Look, I tried here and there, and then the thing didn't make any difference. The most powerful messages I've shared in life, the most powerful, many of them, all right, I was told just 5 minutes beforehand, so boy, I beg, now you go preach. I have preached message that congregations wanted to scatter. One day I preached in church. Pastor told me later that 4 people walked up to me and said that, look, after that message, they are quitting what they are doing right now. That message, quench not the spirit. I can tell you sincerely, it was in the morning when I was going to church, maybe while combing my hair. Lord, what do I preach to these people today? I suppose to preach. It was a Christmas weekend. Most people were not around. Waiting and go preach. Okay, I'll preach from my First Thessalonians chapter 5. And that is next to no preparation. So I've learned it from experience. I read, I study, I pray for kingdom word, I do things. But for each individual meeting, I don't say more than a few lines of prayer. They tell me that Ora Roberts didn't used to talk to people for 10 hours. That's his personal issue. It doesn't concern me at all. I can chat with you right now before I mount the stage. That's me. And you can't tell me I'm not anointed. You can't. Are you getting me? People have had different experiences. So Kenegan said that then, there was this place he went. And people said, if you can have a revival in this church, you will raise Lazarus from the dead. So he wanted to do it. He said he will pray and pray and pray and fast and fast and fast and fast. He will go and preach. The message will be as dry. The home sermon will be boring. Hi! He will go back home, pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Fast, 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 fast. After doing for some time, he remembered casting all your cares upon the Lord. He said, "Dear Lord, concerning this meeting, I'm not doing anything again. I won't pray one line more than my regular prayer. I won't prepare specially more than my regular studies. If you like, move. If you like." Next time he came up, the Spirit of God was mightily present. That was when revival started. Are you getting my point? All the time was, I'm trying to bring out something here. From experience, personal one, other people say, I've learned that all those things are not necessary. So some people say, look, those are the ones we started, who were doing like this, it doesn't mean it's the right way. You have not yet had the faith. Pastor Paul said something once, that he went to Pastor Paul Adefarasin of House on the Rock. Now, I've heard him preach, this is just by the way, those are the ones that used to go to Lagos. Pastor Paul would say something just in my mind. I said, God, relax, relax, relax. You go born again as an old man, so you never learn these things. You will learn it later. I just used to tell myself, relax, relax, relax. Of course, Of course, you know, because I'm a small boy, I can't say people think you don't know what you're saying. He's a big man. Well, it doesn't matter. Before he preaches, he will pray maybe for like 5 hours nonstop. You don't blame him. He learned from Duncan Williams. Duncan Williams are the type that will pray for 40 days nonstop. If you hear the words Pastor Paul Adefra uses to pray, you will know that he, this thing is like Pastor Chris Okoti preaching. Deep words, you know what I'm saying? Then he now met T.D. Jakes. So when they went to the U.S., he was riding around with T.D. Jakes. So he would not, there was service in the evening. And, you know, maybe like an hour before service, we were still check, still eating in the restaurant. And then they entered the guy's limo. T.D. Jakes used a stretch limo. I mean, his size, he needs a stretch limo. I drove down to church. The man was, he was waiting for the man of God to say, okay, everybody, excuse me. I need to go and prepare for service. No, T.D. Jakes just kept on doing like nothing happened. So at the point in time, he said, Ogasa, please, if I were the one going for this service tonight, I need like 4 hours to pray before the service. He just laughed. He said, no, don't worry. You're charismatic, obviously. You're obviously charismatic. Just watch. That's what he took. Just watch. They eventually drove down to service. A few minutes before service started, T.D. just grabbed the microphone. And you will know when anointing falls on somebody. When he shared that testimony, he said, my mind, I smiled. I said, oh, God, when you used to say that you needed to pray for 7 hours, I used to say, one day you go learn that it doesn't work like this. Jesus could be, you could wake him up from his slumber and say, look at it. He just, shh. He just do shh. And the breeze will vamoose. But you understand what I'm going to say here? That is, as a young person, in your zeal, okay, you may take steps that are not exactly steps of faith. But if you don't take them, it's probably a sign that you really have no zeal for God. Are you getting me? But most importantly, of course, you won't download the things of God with, what they call it, inaccurate zeal. You won't. But God looks at it as a sign that this guy is serious. It's love for God as you understand it. It's love for the word of God as you understand it. Then God starts, okay, now good. Oh boy, take pride away and I'll teach you anything. No, remember, take pride away. I will display publicly that what you did last week is wrong. I hope you don't mind. Say, no, sir. Fine. Are you getting my point? I will display before everybody that your proposal for marriage was, I didn't speak to you. You drank the night before. He said, yes, sir. He said, hey, you've understood that thing? Then that's how faith is now built. It's a constant walk with God. I hope you get that point. All right, let me close here. But next week, I will now get back to what I wanted to say about the mouth of Zacharias and then the change of name of Abraham. I hope you've learned something. Please, I hope I'm forgiven for coming late. If you've been blessed today, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's just begin to give God thanks again.